This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. So the Listen Brothers, proud to call them friends for a really long time. Danny and Pat, Dickie Steltenpool is here, bass player forever and ever with Mama's Pride. They are doing a show Saturday, November 23rd at the Pageant. They'll be playing their first two albums in full. They are in studio. Boys, good to see you. Thanks
good
for coming in.
Good to be here.
Yeah, great to see you.
Thank you.
Dickie, how'd you get mixed up with these guys?
Oh, man, that's a long story.
Are you Dogtown Mafia as well?
No, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
And it was, 1976, and a mutual friend introduced me to the band, and their bass player had just quit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, dude, he was the miracle story. This mutual friend came to the door of my mom's house. She didn't even know where my mom lived. To this day, I don't know how she found my mom's house.
She was from Louisville.
And she was from Louisville. And she came in. She asked how all the guys were. She says, how's Joe? I think she kind of had a crush on him at one time. And I said, he left the band. We're looking for a bass player. Well, she went crazy. My boyfriend's here. Oh, he's here. He's going to, you know. And I'm thinking,
We had just heard the worst bass players
in the world the night before. And I thought, what have I got to lose? And Danny and I, Big Jim and Bubba went over to hear him. And it was like, you're kidding. She goes, isn't he good? And I'm like, yeah, he is good. You know, it's like, wow.
We have a bag. We can kidnap him. Yeah.
That is bizarre.
And they were
desperate.
Too.
That she, and oh boy.
Always helps. Always helps.
But to this day, I was just thinking about this the other day. I don't know how she found my mom's house. You don't know. Yeah. Internet back then.
Isn't it? It's like Shakespeare in Love, the movie where he's like, how's it going to come together? I don't know. It just does.
Right.
And the way with bands, we're just talking about the Beatles.
Yeah.
How the hell did those four find each other, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yep. Same way with Mama's Pride.
Yep.
Yeah, it was, you were doing Getaway by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah.
We were like,
because he's playing bass and he's really playing well. And I turned it down.
And singing.
I said, surely he won't be able to sing. I mean, it can't be that good. And he starts singing this lead song. I went, oh, my God, he sings. Oh, it just blew me away.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So for people out there, younger generations who don't know Mama's Pride, give me a 2 or 3 minute history of the band. Because it's so interesting.
Go ahead.
I was living in California at the time. I moved out there in 69. And I'd been out there a couple of years and came back. And Danny was in a band with Max Baker. And I went to hear him. And really, you know, I liked the band. But afterwards, we went back to my mom's house, went down the basement, started singing, you know. And the harmonies just completely blew me away. I've always been a harmony freak. And we did everything from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Beatles. I mean, you name
Temptations.
It. Temptations. Yeah, R&B stuff.
Not R&B.
And the harmonies were just so good that I went back to L.A. and told the band I was with that I was giving them notice. And then came back to St. Louis. I took, you know, me and Max and Danny, and then I got a bass player that I knew, Gary Bourgeois, and a drummer that, then they knew too, Michael Gordon. And the five of us went to California because I knew if you stay here, you're going to break up. First little riff, and then, I don't want to do this. Well, if you're 2,000 miles away, that's not going to happen.
Choice.
You know,
right?
So we went out there, and for 2 years straight, we played out there. You played minimum 3 weeks at a place 6 nights a week. So when we got back, everybody thought we were a brand new band, and they're like, oh, my God, these guys are so good. Well, we've been playing 2 years solid.
Like the Beatles and the Cavern Club.
Right. It just, you know, we knew our stuff backwards and forwards and what, you know. So that's really how the core of it happened, you know.
Did you set out to have a sound, or did the sound develop?
I think the sound developed.
I think it did, too. The big thing that, and I think probably you guys, too, was the harmonies, you know. And I thought all three of us were guitars. I hated that. I thought, nobody has three guitars. That's ridiculous. Well, that's before we knew anything about Skinner.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we got shoved into that Southern rock
genre
thing. We really weren't Southern rock. Charlie Daniels said that to me one time because we did a lot of shows with him. He goes, you mind me telling you something? I said, no. He said, y'all ain't Southern rock. I said, Charlie, I know that. That doesn't. He goes, I don't mean that bad. He goes, y'all need to focus on them vocals. He says, your vocals are, you know, and everybody said that. Jim Gaines, I mean.
David Page from Toto.
Yeah. We could just harmonize anything. We had Jim Gaines tell us one time to completely change these background parts on a song. And we said, okay. And he sat there on the other side of the window going, are you going to go work on it? I said, no, you said this and this and that. And he goes, all right. So he rolls tape and we nailed it first time. He goes, I have never worked with a band that knew, understood vocals that well.
Do you think there's something to the brothers' vocals?
Oh, absolutely. And Max had that different voice that you needed to make it where it didn't sound like the Osmonds. You know, if you get an all-brother thing, then it's so pristine. And Max just had that different voice that made the harmonies just, you know.
But everybody's had that. It's like when we got together for this show, you know, there's some songs we haven't done in a while.
Or ever.
And we got together, and it was like everybody hit the parts they hit 30 years ago.
Well, and Tommy Denman, he was with Max Creek for years, but he was on our Guard Your Heart CD. And Tommy's got this really high voice that Dickie and I used to do a lot. Mm-hmm. So having Tommy to do that, because for him it's easy. So we usually fob all those off to him now. And like I said, Dickie, the minute he joined the band a million years ago, I mean, he fit right in with vocals. So that's, vocals is still a major part of it, I think.
Yeah. Do you relate to the Gallagher brothers in Oasis? Tough being in a band with your brother?
Yes.
I've only...
God, yes.
I've only seen a couple of things on
you
them.
Take it from
I
here.
Know who they are. But no, I don't. I mean, we fought. It was usually alcohol that made us fight, you know. And it being Irish brothers, you know, the minute that was over, then we were crying and saying, I'm sorry, man. You know, I mean, we just didn't do that.
Yeah.
I don't relate to these guys.
We got into it one time in a parking lot somewhere out in L.A., and Kevin Sanders had just joined the band. And he tried opening the van with our house key, and I figured he had too much to drink.
But keep in mind, Danny didn't even drive at the time, so.
Yeah, so we're getting into it, and it could get physical. And Kevin was going to be the peacekeeper. He goes, I'll never forget, I got in between you two, and you both turned and looked at me. He goes, and I was like, oh, my God, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me.
They're going to take it all out on me.
It's like, just let us work it out.
Go ahead, mix it up. Yeah. Mix it up. You're good.
So who, Pat, were you first to pick up the guitar, or was it kind of contemporaneous?
Yeah, because I'm 5 years older than him. I started when I was about 10.
How much older?
Mom started. I might as well say it now, because you're going to get to it at some point. Yes. I already asked the security guard which one she thought was older, and she thought it was you. So, but, I learned when I was about 10. Mom was on KMOX. You know, in the 30s with another lady. They were called the Texas Bluebonnets.
How about that? I didn't know
like
that.
Touring and the whole nine yards, yeah.
Yeah, they
I
were
didn't
pretty
know that
big
about your mom.
With Skeet Chaney and all those, you know, I mean,
George Gobel
was on it at one time. I mean, it was kind of cool.
That's very cool.
So she always, when our families got together, even my dad's side of the family, they all sang and harmonized, and a lot of them played guitar and stuff. And it was like a choir when our families got together.
That's so cool.
So the love of harmony was early, and like I said, I learned how to play guitar, and Danny actually started on drums.
Yep. I go in and watch him give guitar lessons to my friends,
yeah.
And then when he'd leave, I'd go in there and try what he had taught them.
Smart.
Because he'd yell at me.
Yeah.
You know, he was real patient with them.
Well, and he never
them.
Wanted to pay me enough, you know, so it's like, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys get this. When I was, so my brother's 11 years older than me, and he was a guitarist, and he was very anal. You don't touch his records, you don't touch the guitars. So when he would leave, I would go in there, I'd pull the case out from under his bed, open it up, and just that Orange Crush velvet, and I would smell it, the smell of a guitar. It was just magic.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was pure magic. And that either gets you or it doesn't.
Yep.
You know?
And I would do, literally, I would do the same thing when he would leave, because he had a anniversary, Gretsch anniversary.
Gretsch anniversary, yeah.
And it was like, I didn't even know how to play chords, but it was like, I need to do something.
I love
with this
object.
Thing. Yeah, it's like, I feel that way when I walk by a grand piano. I so wish I'd have learned how to play piano. It's like, I want to sit down.
I told him, I said, dude, I play piano. If I can play piano, you can too, you know. I didn't learn until I was in music college.
Yeah, but I want to play like Ahmad Jamal. you know, I don't want to start slow.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I want to be an accomplished jazz pianist.
I was the same way. We grew up on the East Side, and Halpin's Music used to be on Broadway.
Sure.
And we would go by there, and my face was pressed against the window because there was a Gold Sparkle Ludwig set.
Yeah.
And I would just, if you don't know that magic in your soul, you just, you never will.
I would go in a music store. I remember there was a Northland Music. They had a used Gretsch White Falcon.
Ooh.
And I, honest to God, was thinking of how I could have one of the guys in Dogtown steal my mom's car. We'd get the insurance money. I'd find her a better car, but have enough money to buy this Gretsch White Falcon.
The Dogtown way.
Right. Yes. And then I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
That's so cool. Let's take a quick break and come back. Let's do some music. Again, the show is going to be Saturday, November 23rd at the Pageant. How do people get tickets? Do you know what's the best way?
They
just go to the Pageant.
Go to the Pageant.
You have
website.
No idea. You have no idea how you're selling tickets. Okay,
no.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Quick break. Right back here with the Listen Boys and Dickie from Mama's Pride. Welcome back, guys. DGS. Mama's Pride is going to be playing at the Pageant Saturday, November 23rd, doing their first two albums. We have the Liston Brothers here, and Dickie's in here with us. What do you guys want to do?
What do you want us to do?
Oh, I'm happy with anything. You know, I love Blue Mist, but you guys have played that so many times. Whatever you guys feel like doing.
Let's do it.
Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it. I would love to hear it.
Let me flat peg it or finger it.
Do whatever you want. It's for Dave Glover. He's pretty particular.
Well, then if we do it,
he won't validate our parking if you don't play it right.
She did tell me that was tentative.
Right.
Oh, wait.
Detune.
Gotta have that low D. On a bus line, waiting for the number 39 to take me home for the last time. Hoping for the morning rain to fall upon my face so that it will erase the teardrops in my eyes. 'Cause there's a blue mist in the air. I can't share. And there's a teardrop running down my cheek. And I can't even speak when I think of you. And we were brought together because of stormy weather. 'Cause when the weather got better and the sun came, you were gone. You could never make it because you tried to fake it. Then let a stranger come and take it all away. I can live without you, though I'll often think about you. I wonder what would happen had you tried. So I'm giving this song to you to hurt your pride. Yeah, yeah. 'Cause there's a blue mist in the air. There's a feeling in my heart that I can't share. And there's a teardrop running down my cheek. And I can't even. Running down my cheek, and it's breaking my heart in two. I
Beautiful. Beautiful. The vocals are still there, man.
Seems really early in the morning. We went over it outside, yeah. And I didn't do the verse first. I just went straight to that thing. I'm
yeah.
like, oh, my.
See if you can do it or not. Yeah. Is the joy the same as it was back in the 70s? Is it different? Is it joyful over a different reason now?
I think sometimes it's almost better, mm-hmm. you know, because there's no pressure. You know, we'll go into that, especially as seldom as we play, it's usually sold out. You know, it sells out. So that's always nice, you know. So you got a captive audience that's there just to see you.
Yeah, but the practices, too, are just, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, I go home and it's like, I can't go to sleep till
that's great.
First 25 minutes is story time.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get around to actually practicing. You know, you get it done fast.
But you do wonder, it's like, you don't ever want to be that guy that overstays their welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the biggest thing. It's like, I hope I know if
when it's
that time comes.
Oh, I think you especially will, because you've always been real finicky about things being right, you know. And I have too, but I know you're real funny about it. And yeah, that's terrible to, you know, you just can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when you're used to being at a certain level and that level drops, it's like, yeah.
So we all know that a 50-year-old guitar sounds better than a 50-day guitar. Is it the same with you guys, you think, with the vocals and the feel and the energy?
You learn, I always tell people, I BS, you know, you learn how to work around maybe your throat's not doing well on a certain range of, or the scream isn't there. You know, you scream all night. Now I scream two or three times a night and they'll say, you still got it. Well, yeah, but just not as often,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But you learn to work around the little flaws and things like that. Because he and I learned a long time ago that they're hearing something different than we're hearing. We'd have a Mama's Pride have a terrible night and somebody come and go, man, this is the best you ever sounded. And I remember one night saying to him, I think we maybe worked too hard at this, because, you know, their level, they just want to be there. They get caught. There's a live performance, there's a energy there. It's not just the quality of the performance.
Totally get it. Good to see you, Dickie. Always good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, Dave.
Saturday, November 23rd at the Pageant. I will be there. Join me for Mama's Pride, playing the first two albums. Good to see you, boys.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 335. So you knew best friend with Master Liston there?
Yeah. Yeah, I met Tommy. He's a good, first of all, very, very, very talented kid. I saw some of the videos. We were listening to the music going on in here, but during the break, he was showing me some of the stuff that he plays on his own. He's a metal guy like me.
It didn't look like you were listening to the music.
He's a metal guy like me. No, we were. We were talking.
I mean, chatting him up.
Yeah, we were talking. We got like all the same things.
A red-haired Slipknot fan.
Yes. Are you kidding me?
There are two of those.
Who also loves Korn and...
Andrew loves Korn.
Yeah, not that kind of Korn. The one with a K.
You're talking my language.
Yeah, I made a new friend.
Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Oh, man.
I like Korn, too.
We all love Korn.
Really? The band?
One way or another.
I don't know if I would recognize Korn. I would on the Cobb.
I was feeding goats at the fun farm, straight off the cob.
And Andrew's like jealous.
And I was, because you go in the cornfield and I was
one
pulling
for you,
some off.
One
and
for me.
I was like, you guys are living the dream.
Stand out here and let people feed you corn.
Your dream is to be a baby goat.
Hand fed corn off the cob. I mean, come on.
I would say you need to shoot higher, but it sounds pretty good.
It does, actually.
It sounds all right to me.
So, Dave, this is our warm day, right?
This is. I'll call this the warmest of the next several coming, but any cool down is going to be slow. Have a lot of people calling this Indian summer. It technically is not. Indian summer comes after a widespread hard freeze.
Okay.
We haven't had that. Officially, we haven't had that. So this is not Indian summer yet. Indian summer typically comes sometime in the middle of November.
Rach and I saw it rain for like, what, 30 seconds?
Yeah, it was a little flash
it just looked,
shower.
Yeah, it looked weird.
Yeah, just to get the ground wet and to get your windshields on, buddy.
That's what Rach said.
I know. I was like, I wish my car was parked outside. It could get washed right now, but it's in the garage. Such as
well, we have another shot Thursday night.
All right, cool.
So then back down like in the 60s for the weekend, Dave?
Yes. Yeah, we're talking 75 tomorrow. That's still above average. We're in the low 80s today, even though we did have a little system come by. 48 Wednesday night, 74 on Thursday. Couple of showers scattered about, maybe a rumble of thunder Thursday night. Does not really cool us back on Friday. Fair amount of sunshine, 78 degrees, and in the 60s, Saturday and Sunday, all is dry for the weekend.
And Halloween is always a crapshoot, right? That's always a tough one.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure it's going to be that tough this year because we, in the long-range forecast for fall, we said October would be warm, and actually a lot of November would be warm. Mm-hmm. So for us to have a real cold snap around Halloween would be a little unusual. Mm-hmm. Not out of the question. It's only the 22nd right now. But
yeah.
But yeah, we'll fine tune that as we go along.
What's perfect trick or treating weather for you guys? 50s?
That sounds nice.
Yeah, I'd say like upper 50s.
Upper 50s. Yeah.
Yeah. As a kid, I didn't care. Just as a kid, like
you
I'm
don't
going.
Care
let's
when
go.
You're a kid.
Yeah, you're just running around anyway. But as the person that has to sit outside and hand out candy, because we usually do that. Our neighborhood, we kind of sit outside and all. Do like a little like driveway parties as you're hanging out there?
To me, trick-or-treating, again, I'm 60, so it's different, but trick-or-treating to me is wearing the Kmart costume with a little cutout, tiny little mouth, and then sticking your tongue through it and cutting your tongue. Just such happiness. And we never had a jack-o'-lantern candy. It was always pillowcases.
Oh, yeah. No, the pillowcases were by far the best. First of all, they hold way more.
And you'd fill them up a couple of times.
Easy.
I mean, you'd make a haul.
Easy. You'd fill one up, come back, empty it out, and then go back out to the other part of the neighborhood.
Then you come home, you separate the crap from the good stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Well, to me, it was all good, but you separate, like, the fruity from the chocolate and the hard candies from everything else. You had, like, three little bags.
You don't really want that. That's not good. You don't want that one. That's bad. I'll
take that. Right. I didn't have anyone to trade with. You know, my siblings were long gone by then.
Yeah.
I always was jealous of people like that or to fight over.
Yeah, see, that was more of it. My brother's 3 years younger. We didn't really trade very much. We would always fight over who got what.
People were just taking his stuff.
No, I didn't. I truly didn't. But he would get mad. Like, cause my parents would sneak stuff out of all of our stuff.
Sure.
And we would blame each other.
Yeah.
You took my Snickers. I did not. Yes, you did. That back and forth.
Did they have fun size when we were?
Yeah, they didn't call them that, but they were like smaller. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably bigger than they are now, but they were still smaller.
Yeah. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. There was a mass food poisoning incident in Jessup, Maryland, and it's being blamed for sending 46 people to the hospital. Firefighters and paramedics had to rush to NAFCO wholesale seafood distributors when reports came in
sounds like
about multiple
poisoning.
Individuals feeling unwell. All 46 adults at the scene were quickly transported to nearby hospitals. That's crazy.
I've only had food poisoning legit twice, where it was like traceable and diagnosable, and then when it was gone, it was gone. But it is about as sick as you get. That and seasickness.
Yeah, it's not pleasant. It's not good.
Have you had it?
I have.
I've had it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ruby Tuesday got me.
Did it?
Yeah. Man. Stupid Ruby Tuesday.
I don't want to say where I got it from because it's like a smaller restaurant in the St. Louis area. And it's, you know, stuff happens. But I had ordered like the worst food you could order, like jalapeno poppers and chicken tin. Like I just went full like, we're going to have like.
You're asking for trouble.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
The worst I got ever was my own fault.
Or was it just crap that you ate?
It was definitely food poisoning because I had a fever.
Oh,
nuts.
Man, the worst I ever had was my own fault. It was food I cooked. So we had a big party down in Florida for my mom's birthday. And I made like steaks and I grilled salmon. I did all this stuff. And there's just lots of food left. And I left the salmon out basically for 3 or 4 hours. And I still ate it again later. Mm. And after the second time, oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the worst I've ever had in my entire life, and just nothing was going right. It was like a whole body malfunction.
Wheels, I went through a period probably about 15 years ago where I was a much larger man, and I decided that pants hurt, and so I just stopped wearing pants at home. I was just going Winnie the Pooh, and I had been to a Thai restaurant for lunch.
Okay.
And had like the hottest thing you could possibly have. And I pooped on the couch.
Ooh.
And so I went downstairs to get a towel, as one does. And I walked back trying to get there before Maureen found it. And I looked up the stairs and she's standing over it. And I'm like, don't pick it up. Don't pick it up. Because it was like rabbit poop. And she did. And she looked at it. And then she looked at me. And that night we had a terrible storm. And it knocked the whirligig off the top of our house. And it was in the middle of the road. And all the neighbors are out and looking at the downed trees and stuff. And some guy goes, hey, your whirligig's off. And I don't know anything about anything. And I go, yeah, put that back on there. You know, I'm thinking about putting some French doors in the breezeway room, too. And Maureen goes in front of everyone, hey, Ace, how about before you put the French doors up, you stop pooping on the furniture?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Got me.
Right under the bus.
Right
under the buses.
All right. The wheels got you.
And I was like, oh, that's a good one. That's funny. You know why that's funny?
Because it never happened, right?
Yeah. If it happened, it wouldn't be funny.
She's always
joking around.
It
would be really cruel. The old poop on the couch bit. She loves that one.
All right. According to a new study, constant doom scrolling and worrying can damage your brain. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. I'm not sure why we needed a study for that. But worrying thoughts and feelings about existential threats increase activity in the amygdala. I'm saying that wrong. That's a brain region that responds to threat.
Mm. So yeah. You just overuse it.
You overuse it, correct.
And it builds up like a muscle, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're always worrying then.
Harvey Weinstein has cancer. The disgraced Hollywood mogul, whose alleged sexual misconduct fueled the Me Too movement, has chronic myeloid leukemia. He's undergoing treatment in prison at Rikers Island in New York.
So what do you do there as a human? Do you go, he's a terrible person, but I'm sorry you have cancer? Or do you just go, oh, okay.
I'm the second one.
I mean, sorry you have cancer, but it shouldn't get you out of any sort of like paying for your crimes. Like, I don't think there should be.
You don't get any forgiveness after decades and decades and decades of abusing people.
In a recent study published in the American Journal of Drug and Alcohol Abuse, researchers found that adults with cannabis use disorder tended to experience poorer sleep than those without the condition. They also performed more poorly on tests assessing memory or the ability to retain and process information about an object's appearance and location.
What are they calling regular use? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah.
Let's do one more story here. I just thought this was cute. Steve Martin seems to be confirming that Martin Short and Meryl Streep's relationship on social media amid the pair's dating rumors. So I had heard this rumor a couple weeks ago that Martin Short and Meryl Streep were dating, and Steve Martin is confirming it.
Wow. Pays to be funny.
Mm-hmm. Get to date the finest actress of our time.
Mm. Are you suggesting he's not hot?
Yes.
Wow. Thanks, Dave.
Yep.
352 DGS. We have the think tank coming up in the next hour with Ray Hartman and Mike Elam. So people are mad about the hitting coach for the Cardinals?
Yeah, there are some Twitter people that are very angry because his name is Brant Brown.
Let me ask you this. How big is anger in sports?
Oh, it's huge. Yeah. I mean, well, if you want to understand how sports fans are, look at me. Anger or pure happiness, it's one or the other. there's almost no in-between. There's no like, okay, I'm fine. It's either I'm angry or I'm very happy, and it seems to be, you know, kind of that way. But for whatever reason, hitting coaches tend to be very polarizing. So the Cardinals hired Brant Brown to be their new hitting coach. And what people are mad at is that he just got fired last May when he was the hitting coach, or I guess they called him the offensive coordinator for the Seattle Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mariners weren't hitting. They were having a hard time. They fired him. And the reaction is an obvious one. Like, why would you hire the guy that just got fired because the team didn't hit? I'm like, well, they didn't hit because they didn't have enough good hitters. You know, like, you don't judge a coach, a hitting coach, pitching coach, based on just the numbers that the team is putting up. It's some combination of how good are the players, are you getting the most out of them, and all of that. And it's just such an inexact science, and that's what bothers me about the freakouts. By the way, it also bothers me when people celebrate. They're like, oh my God, Barry Bonds is our hitting coach. Yeah, Barry Bonds was a crappy hitting coach. Like, the important thing with hitting coaches is to not get caught up in what you think it's going to be, because almost all of the best hitting coaches on the planet have been fired. Most of them were not heralded hires the first or second time around. They weren't things that, like, people were parading in the streets going, yay, we got Kevin Long to be our hitting coach. The hitting coach for the Dodgers never played in the big leagues and was doing private hitting instruction when they hired him, because he was working with big leaguers, but he was one of those guys that they work with in the winter. And nobody in fandom had ever heard of the guy. And they hired him because he knew what he was doing, but it wasn't like exciting or sexy. People were like, who's this guy? Robert Van Soyak. Who is this guy? So it's important with hitting coaches to understand it's you're never going to really know good or bad. You can think, you know, you guys, Dave, if I asked you, what do you think the reaction was from Cardinals fans when Mark McGwire was named hitting coach?
Bad.
It was terrible. People hated it. What does he know about hitting? He was a 240 hitter. He was terrible. And he took steroids. Turns out he was a pretty damn good hitting coach. You know, like, you can't judge those things based on their instant reaction of the name. I don't know if Brant Brown's going to be good. We'll find out. But I know this. You can't possibly know good or bad right now.
Yeah. I have questions, but it's time to talk about Zero Res.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.